come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life, take two. Oh Lord, have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Hey there, gang. It's time for Go Yard, and we want to talk about how you can hit home runs in life. And this is Mama Mac. Along with me is my co-host, the amazing, charming, absolutely wise and influential and inventive and all of that, Dr. Angel Falzoni.
So kind. You're always so kind.
I'm running out of adjectives for you, girl. We've been working together for over a year and a half, and I've known you for several years and totally trust you, and it's amazing working with you on this show. And just what God's been doing, really, in this show through people's lives. And it's a blessing to be here week after week on this station, isn't it?
Absolutely. I look forward to it. This is the highlight of my week.
It is. It's wonderful. And you are an active, actually, you have 28 therapists working under you. You just finished your dissertation. You have your PhD. You're a licensed mental health counselor. And you are an authority on some of this stuff.
Yes, ma'am.
And having counseled for a number of years and everything and publications that you've done, you know, it's really great to have you as our resident authority here, you know. And as a pastor, I've counseled for a long time, but without the degree that you have. So got life degree here.
Yeah, life and experience are really good teachers.
Yeah, my degree was biology and chemistry and Spanish, and you can't do this with that. So anyway, tonight we're starting a new topic. We finished a show last week, enjoying healthy relationships.
And that was really fun.
Wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And if any of you out there missed that, go to Go Yard yet, till the end of the month. Go to this radio station's podcast, Tantalk1340.com. Hit podcast, go down to Go Yard, and the show will be there from last week. At the end of each month, our webmaster goes and puts the shows on our website, which is goyard2014.org, O-R-G, not .com. But on goyard2014.org, we've got so many shows from a year and a half, Doctor.
Yes, we do.
What are some of the topics on there?
Oh, we have done so many topics. We've done addictions. We've done relationships, fighting fair. We've done boundaries, parenting. You know, we have hit so many wonderful topics
just
over the last year and a half.
Just all kinds of stuff. It was in the news when we started the show in September of 2014 about domestic violence, football players and their wives and girlfriends. We did a series on that was amazing.
Yes, we have. So there's a lot of great information up there.
Go to yard2014.org, O-R-G. Write it down and go there. If you want to call in tonight and be a part of the show, Pete, our engineer, is in there in the control room, and he will be glad to answer the phone and patch you through with your questions and or comments. We have found, though, a lot of people will text us and not call in, and I don't know if they get embarrassed or what the deal is, or maybe we need to give away some car or something to get them to, maybe, you think? Maybe we could give away your beautiful Mustang out there, Pete. It's absolutely gorgeous. We could give that away.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, but thanks for the suggestion.
Right.
Yeah, not going to happen. I love that Mustang.
Yes, I've had one just like it, or close to like it, and now my Mini Cooper. I understand your feelings, so we won't give away your car. Yeah, no, maybe a gift certificate or something. We'll think of something.
Just a pat on the back. How about that?
How about that?
Thanks for calling the show. Thanks a lot. You get absolutely nothing for calling in. You get great advice.
Great advice. 727-441-3000. 727-441-3000 is our call-in number. Our text number is 727-888-4171. I'm going to give it to you one more time. If you'd like to text a question or comment during the show, or 24/7, 365, because this show will be played this weekend twice, Saturday and Sunday, right at noon Eastern on StarComRadioNetwork.com. Four words, StarComRadioNetwork.com. Noon Eastern, Saturday and Sunday. Okay, here we go. What's the title of this show?
You know, we are going to be talking about shame.
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 That's a shameful subject.
Yeah, can be, can it?
No, not really. It's actually a very important topic, and you and I are excited about the show because we believe it's going to help a lot of people. And this is a common problem.
Absolutely. In fact, when I'm working with patients in therapy, shame is a core issue for a lot of individuals who are struggling, and it can present like we're struggling with other things. But when we kind of peel back the layers at the bottom, there's a lot of shame a lot of the time.
And, I've found that through the years talking to people, too, that is a core reason. That's a nice word, core, but it's a basic reason why some people are still dealing with things from their childhood, still dealing from things from their adolescent years, and a first marriage or a second marriage or a fifth marriage or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely. It's kind of funny because the analogy I really like to use is like a plant, and we talk about root issues.
Oh, yeah. Good.
And so when you see the plant, you'll see the pretty flower and the leaves, but underneath that root's what's keeping that plant alive.
Right.
And so when people come into therapy, their leaves and flowers might present with all kinds of different things going on in the world. But when we get down to that root, shame is a root problem.
It is.
And so we can't get rid of all the ways it's impacting someone until we deal with that root.
Absolutely.
And so that's why we're doing this, because it is a root problem. And a lot of people have to deal with this, and they don't even know what they're dealing with.
Right. Is this a root canal?
Yeah, kind of like a root canal.
Okay. All right. So what is shame? Can you define it for us, Dr. Angel?
Well, it's kind of a challenging definition.
Okay.
It's a painful emotion. It's caused by the consciousness of guilt or shortcoming or impropriety, humiliation and disgrace.
Okay.
A lot of times people will talk about shame and guilt and put them together.
Right. Yeah.
Guilt is acknowledging that maybe I made a poor choice or I did something wrong.
Right.
Shame is that wrong is my identity.
Ah.
And that is what distinguishes guilt and shame.
Oh, I like that. You've got to go over that one more time, but I like that difference.
And that's truly the difference of guilt and shame.
Okay.
So guilt recognizes maybe I made a wrong choice. We can, we have the guilt thing to kind of warn us, ooh, maybe I need to look at that. But when it becomes shame is when that poor choice or whatever it is becomes our identity.
Okay, so we walk around with that baggage, and it's not just an occasional thought of, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That would be guilt.
Right, but I'm this awful person.
I am horrible.
I am, and it's whatever is the thing that...
Honestly, I'm so excited about this series because it's going to be probably two shows at least.
Absolutely.
Because we have so much to cover. And the goal here, listeners, is that you look at your own life and and evaluate whether or not you have a root of shame there that needs, and we're going to talk about how to get rid of it.
Yeah,
too.
We're going to be plucking roots.
We're going to be plucking roots. Yeah, we're not going to just say, here's your problem or here's the problem that a lot of people face, but we're going to give you solutions, and that's what Go Yard, this show, is all about, hitting a home run in life instead of striking out. And finding ways to conquer the things that have been hanging around with us forever.
Absolutely. And, a lot of these things are the things, like you mentioned, we have carried around for a long time.
Right.
A lot of these are things that started in childhood. I when I'm teaching parenting classes, one of the things we work on is a common phrase parents will use, oh, you're bad, when a child makes a poor choice. Oh, you're bad. Well, that's shame-inducing because I'm giving that child an identity of being bad. Well, growing up, hearing you're bad, you're bad, you're bad becomes my identity.
Right.
And so now I'm an adult and I'm taking that still on. So some of these can be things that the person didn't realize they were putting a shame identity on you.
Oh,
it just kind of happens.
Right.
And so it can be something that somebody else has, kept telling you over and over what you are in a negative way, and then you accept it.
Exactly.
Or it can just come from your own saying, I'm struggling in this, or I'm making these poor choices, I'm bad, or I can't do anything right, or I am, whatever that is your shame.
Don't you think a lot of times that people that have issues that have happened in their lives, that they've taken something on as shame, it becomes so much a part of their identity that they see themselves that. They see themselves bad. They see themselves never able to keep a relationship together. They see themselves as
the fault for whatever
everything.
It is. And it could be everything. And when they look in the mirror,
Yeah.
And what I mean that is, you know, that proverbial mirror, you know, even though if they have great choices and they're very successful in other parts of their lives,
right,
they can't see that
yeah.
or recognize it, because that shame just overshadows that entire view of everything going on.
And it comes out in their life, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, a lot of times I find this in people who are high achievers.
Now, that's weird. Don't you think that's weird? I mean, you would think that shame-based issues would be in people that just don't ever succeed at anything.
And they can be in those people. And I will see it in high achievers. And the reason is they keep trying to make more accomplishments and achieve more to wipe away those negative feelings that they've taken
that makes
on in their
so much
identity.
Sense. Yes.
But the more they achieve, because they haven't looked and dealt with that shame, it doesn't go away until
right.
we recognize it and deal with it. And so they keep trying to achieve up this ladder, but that shame just doesn't stop clouding them.
And one of the things, I think an overall thing of this show over the last year and a half has been, let's look at it and let's deal with it.
Absolutely.
That's what we're about on Go Yard. You know, it is about facing the issues in our lives and seeing how we can change that and become everything we can become. What are your words for your life? You know?
Pursuing life with purpose and passion.
Yes, pursuing life with purpose and passion. When I think of Dr. Angel, I think of that slogan, because I've known her to have that slogan for a number of years now.
Pursuing. I'm glad you think of that slogan.
I do.
Because that book is in works of publication and should be out in a few more months. So
praise God.
I'm
all
excited
right.
about that. Boldly live, and that's the whole premise.
Boldly live. Yes. And what's on your license plate? Because I've been behind you in traffic in your orange Jeep.
Right now it says free to fly.
That's right.
But
it does.
It's about to say Dr. Angel in a few weeks.
Is it?
Yes.
Your whole license plate is going to be Dr. Angel.
I have a new license plate made.
And people, she drives this amazing orange Wrangler convertible Jeep. So if you see one of those around town, and she's everywhere around town, and it have a license plate, it's Dr. Angel, you know that is the famous Dr. Angel Falzoni.
Could give that one away. How about that?
No, thank you.
No, we're still back on your Mustang. Okay. So how does shame develop? You know, because I know that it doesn't, you're not born with shame.
No, we're not born with shame.
That's good news.
That is good news. Shame kind of is something that happens as we live life through experiences and relationships. And so what happens is it's a slow developer.
Okay.
It's something that, like when you're a child and you make a poor choice and someone says, well, you're bad. And it's something, these negative messages that others may tell us or we tell ourselves. And sometimes
right.
it's that combination of both.
Right.
That keeps happening time after time, day after day, and then month after month, and then year after year. And that's how it gets so deeply ingrained.
And I would think that parents that scream a lot and put kids down would contribute to that shame factor.
Absolutely.
Building.
That's shame-based parenting, and that's what we don't
want. Shame-based parenting.
Yes.
I like that term. I don't like that term. I mean, that term explains it pretty well. You want to define what you just said?
And that's just it. It's those put-downs that parents might be telling, you know, and it happens out of frustration. And so sometimes when parents just don't have the tools in their tool bag to handle the behavioral issues and things that are going on, they get overwhelmed. And so, you know, parents are, you know, a lot of them are very loving and want the best for their kids. But when they get overwhelmed, sometimes they pull out shame-based parenting, which is, you know, all these negative insults that they would put on the kid, like,
right.
you're bad, or you're not doing anything good, or you're a failure, or why can't you do anything right? And
I've known a lot of people through the years that have taken one of their children and set them up as the example on how to behave. And why aren't you like your brother? Why aren't you like your sister? You're never going to amount to anything, because look at your brother. He's a straight-A student, and you don't seem to be able to get C's, or whatever the case may be. And, I mean, I know people like this.
Oh, I hear you. I do, too. And that's shame-based parenting.
That's shame-based parenting.
And so when we hear those messages time and time again, we start to take that identity on. I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. There's nothing good in me. I'm not smart enough. I am whatever people have been telling me.
And it starts coming out of the mouth of the person who's been shamed, does it not?
Oh, yeah. It becomes, well, once you hear it, and then you start internalizing it, and then you start expressing it. And that's just very basic, we call it cognitive behavioral techniques, where you think it, you know, you hear it, you think it,
and you,
express it and you do it, and it right. all flows in. So we have to stop that cycle.
Right.
But we have to see that cycle first.
Okay.
So a lot of times shame can be put onto people who've been victim.
Okay.
Victimized. There's a lot of shame in
being molested
or abused or removed from a home as a kid or being a victim of a crime. Any of those, there can be shame based. What did you do? What were you wearing? What could you have done different? Why didn't you this? What,
yeah.
Well, if you weren't out at night or if you would have made curfew, this, that's shame.
Exactly. And the parent who says to the teenager who happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and gets raped.
Absolutely.
This is a common problem.
I hear this a lot. And then you'll hear a very common phrase that I really hate to hear is, I'm damaged goods.
Yes.
And
I've heard that through the years from people.
Absolutely.
Damaged goods.
Shame.
Yeah, that's shame. Yeah, because there's always repair.
Yes.
There's always repair. Repair is possible. Repair is can happen, and it can happen with not that much effort, really. It's a mindset change, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's a mindset change. It's a thought change. It's changing our perception, because once we take on shame, it becomes the glasses we wear. And I know we talk about our glasses we
wear. Yes.
Shame is like, you know, when we put on sunglasses, we see everything with that little sunglass hue, and so we're not seeing the colors the way that they really are. Well, shame is that same way. It's the hue that we'll see everything we do, everything we think, we'll see every negative thing. It like highlights it.
Right.
And we can't see our positive. No matter how many positives, all we can really see are those negatives.
And so in turn, I've known a lot of people that have this problem. They're shame-based.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they live. And in turn, I have known that they tend to then project onto those around them, the closest, well, you really don't love me because I guess I'm just worthless. I'm not a good wife, or I'm not this, or I'm not that.
They're chronic victims.
Ah, that's the word I'm looking for.
It is. And there is a chronic victim mentality when we carry shame. Because I am so bad. Nothing could be good for us. Nothing can work right for me. You know, now because you're in relationship with me, you're down that slippery slope because I'm so evil and so bad that my badness
right.
is contagious and it's going to rub off on everybody around me.
Okay, but correct me if I'm wrong. And of course, these shows, folks, are not rehearsed, not planned, nothing like that. We have a basic outline sometimes. Last week we didn't. We just winged the show. But so we don't really know how it's going to go. But we want to follow a pattern here. The person who is entrenched in shame-based thinking, mindset, married to someone who's happy-go-lucky, everything's good, everything that person touches turns out great. And suddenly the victim, the shamed person, basically, I've seen this, and tell me if this is correct, puts on that person, well, you really don't want to be with me. You really don't love me because I'm not worthy of that love. And you really are thinking awful things about me in your head, husband.
And they can do that. I see that.
You know
that.
What I'm saying? Yes. I have had to deal with that with some people.
Absolutely, that can happen. They'll take full responsibility for anything that goes wrong because I'm such a bad person that this has to be all my fault, and because we're taking on that identity of shame.
Okay.
And it can be very Ooh. Destructive, not just for you as a person, but for your relationships and anybody around you.
Absolutely.
So it has a destructive. So some of the ways, all right, so how do I know if maybe I might have some shame?
Okay. Oh, good. So we need to know this. Yes.
So one of the flags, warning signs is, are you highly self-critical?
Highly self-critical, number one.
So when I'm walking through the office, and I do every day, and I try to greet people, as I've shared on many shows, and I go to a therapist now or somebody in the office, and I'm like, oh, you know, I really love how your hair is today. Oh, but I look fat in these jeans, and da-da-da-da. That's self-critical.
Yes. Yes. Can't take a compliment.
And can't take a compliment.
And come back with a
negative. All the negative things that you can
okay.
see.
That's a good warning flag, right?
So if when you're given, you know, if you can't take a compliment, oh, thank you.
Right.
Should be the response when somebody gives you, you know, something positive. And when you're criticizing other things, that's a shame-based problem.
Okay. So,
and a lot of people do that.
All right. So number one, are you highly self-critical?
Right. So you see every flaw in everything you do. You know,
okay.
you might write a fantastic term paper and you've caught where you made a double space where you shouldn't have and you think the whole thing is crap.
Right. And I've known perfectionists to that degree.
That perfectionism is another flag.
Okay.
You jumped the gun.
No,
on me,
I didn't mean
cool.
to.
No,
I,
you're great. It's
what's
natural.
What's point two? What's point two? Number one, are you highly self-critical?
Highly
number
self-critical.
Two.
Do you beat yourself up over your failures?
Oh, wow. Oh, I know so many people that do that, and they're so they're all the time upset.
Right.
They live in a state of feeling bad about themselves, feeling like everybody's looking at them and thinking that they are this awful person. Or you mentioned fat, and some people do that and take that on. Oh, he just thinks I'm fat, whatever.
Absolutely. So when they have a failure, we're human, and they don't give themselves human factor.
Okay.
And so when they... Maybe they're late for an appointment. Maybe they didn't make the best of decision. Maybe they didn't say the exact right words in a conversation. And they will beat themselves up over and over. Well, I should have done this, and I should have done it that way, and I'm terrible, and why didn't I think of that? What's wrong with me? Over and over. They will lose sleep over it.
So the mind just goes into high gear of overactivity. And, yes, that would cause you to not lose sleep and be able to relax and be at peace.
Absolutely. Because all you can concentrate on is this failure or any failure over and over, and they'll relive it over and over and over. And, you know, when we're talking about you can't go back and change it. All we can do is fail forward.
Right.
And they can't get to that point.
Fail forward, did you?
Fail forward.
Okay.
That's when we make a mistake, we recognize it, we learn from it. How can we do it different? And we make those changes to do it different in the future.
And we fail forward. I love it.
But those stuck in shame can't get to the learning part because they're so stuck on what they didn't do right here that they're not learning to be able to not keep doing it.
Got it. Okay, I'm going to keep track of these for our audience to help them learn them. Number one, are you highly self-critical? Number two, do you beat yourself up over failures? Number three.
Oh, number three, do you work too much and push too hard without giving yourself time to breathe?
Now,
remember,
wait a
we
minute.
Talked about
what's
overachievers.
Wrong with me? Yeah, okay, overachievers. I was going to say, yeah. I mean, a lot of people work so they don't think about their own life. Correct?
True. And if I have enough success, then maybe it'll make all this bad stuff I feel about myself go away.
Right.
And so overachieving, and that's working too much, not giving yourself downtime, time to breathe, that's definitely a flag that...
Okay, question about that. Why is it so important to give yourself downtime? You just said something about breathing, but you want to amplify on that?
Yeah, well, our body needs downtime. We need time to relax, rest, recover. That's how healthy bodies work. And so when we're not giving ourselves that time, we're just in this full mode all the time where we're putting lots of extra stress on ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're hurting ourselves in the long run.
Whoa. We're going to come back and find out what point number four is in just a minute. If you want to call in and get involved tonight, 727-441-3000. Don't go anywhere. This is Go Yard.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Tampa Bay's TAN Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep.
home run there on the songs.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, great. You're listening to Go Yard with me, Mama Mac, and Dr. Angel Falzoni, my co-host. You can call in right now if you want to at 727-441-3000 and ask a question, make a comment, or you can text us at 727-888-4171. Those of you that listen to this show on the weekends on StarComRadioNetwork.com, you can text 24/7, 365 anytime because it comes straight to my phone and I will get your questions to Dr. Angel. And Dr. Angel, every couple months we have question and answer shows, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Where do those questions come from?
Those questions come from you guys, the audience. So email in your questions.
Yeah.
Email address.
GoYard2014@gmail.com.
Thank you. My brain's slow. It's, you know, by Thursday night, it gets hard.
That's all right. And check out Facebook. We have a Facebook page. We want to check when people
check it out. Go like us, Facebook 1340.
Right. And so we just encourage you to get involved with the show because there's so much great stuff to learn here. So if you want to text or call in right now during the last few minutes of the show up till 7 o'clock, the number again to call in, 727-441-3000. Number to text, 727-888-4171. Before we get to number four, Dr. Angel, a thought occurred to me during the break.
All right.
I have a question for you. Can a twin or a triplet, let's say, or a quadruplet or a quintuplet or whatever they are, growing up in the same house, one have shame, not the other one not?
Absolutely.
How does that happen?
Well, because shame is based on our experiences.
Okay.
We're not born with it. We've already talked about that.
Right.
And every individual person interprets experiences different.
Doesn't matter if they're twins or triplets.
Doesn't matter if they're twins. Biological, identical, doesn't matter. One person may experience an event one way and interpret it one way, and it could be shame-based. The other person may experience the same event and interpret it a different way, which may not be shame-based.
Okay. So that can happen.
Absolutely. It happens all the time.
And so would you say that a lot of times the shame-based person, well, how do I want to ask you this? Do you find, let's put it this way, in your practice, that people that have these problems, shame-based problems, are good communicators in general?
No.
Right.
Not
That's my point. That's what I want to...
Not usually.
Not usually. In fact, do they kind of repress things, keep
they
it down?
They do. A lot of times they will repress things, and they'll try and hide those feelings by giving you a lot of surface stuff.
Like?
Just talking about things that are non-evasive into their life. So they won't talk about their personal life, maybe relationships or things that are really going on in their life. They're just going to talk about things that are a little bit more safe and surfacey where it's not bringing up where they feel like their failures or their deficits. So
okay.
A lot of times they keep relationships real surface is okay. What we call that when we're just, you know, keeping it on safe stuff to keep it off of me.
Yeah, I hope that helps some people out there because that question came to me during the break, and I think it's a good one. Okay, so number one, are you highly self-critical? You can write these down. Number two, do you beat yourself up over failures? Number three.
We did number three. Do you work too much and push too hard without giving yourself time to breathe?
It's number three. What's number four?
Four kind of is similar to number three. So do you feel the need to compete, outperform others, and move ahead of the pack?
Oh.
Now, there can be a positive part of just motivation.
Okay.
But when everything we do, and we all know these people, you can't play a game, they have to win. They will, like,
oh, gosh. Oh,
beat you down to win just a simple board game.
And I have, years ago, you know, when I was married and we had couple friends and that kind of stuff, I've seen people, women or men, doesn't matter, get so mad that they've tossed everything on the game board, or they've gone, come on, honey, we're going home.
Yes. There's shame under that.
Oh, my gosh.
That is a very good indication.
I'm not
shame.
Kidding you, Doctor.
I've seen it.
I have seen it, and it's embarrassing for everybody else sitting there. You know, like, what's wrong with Joe? Well, I don't know. He just got mad because he didn't win. You know, I mean, it's like juvenile, but it's really a deeper thing than being a childlike behavior, isn't it?
It is very much a deeper thing, and that is that shame-based route that happens.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure we all know that individual. We don't want to play a game with them because ruthless, cutthroat, and it's not fun anymore.
No, because they're going to be mad, and if they don't win, they're going home mad.
They personalize that loss, and now everybody's terrible to them, and they're just upset, and makes it no fun anymore.
That's exactly
right. So that is a flag. You have some shame.
Okay, number four.
So, and number five, do you live with shame or that sense of not being good enough?
The good enough thing. And honestly, I have seen that so much through my years of pastoral ministry that people don't feel that they measure up. And when you ask them, why is it that you feel you can't, whatever the task may be, or succeed at your job, or they're afraid to start a new job in a new area, change careers. You know, I've seen that for years. Or they want to live right close to mommy and daddy and not ever move away from, you know, from the area, quote unquote. They don't want to launch out into new adventures and new opportunities, maybe more money to feed their family and clothe their family, but they're safe.
Right.
5 minutes from mom. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And there's that safety and that comfort zone is what we call that when we want to stay in that. And because I'm not good enough to do this because I'm a failure or I don't have the skills or whatever to do this. So they're not usually going to take those risks.
Right.
And risk taking is, there's a healthy line of risk taking to grow as a human being. And so they kind of hinder themselves.
Okay. So I'll give you an example. I know of a guy who needs to get a better job for his family. Mm-hmm. Okay, he really does. And he's got like a master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not talking about somebody who didn't finish high school. We're talking about somebody who has education and should be able to get a job and is good at what he does and is very conscientious and all that, but will not come away from, you know, a few miles from mom and dad and won't try to even get something. Won't try.
And that's definitely a huge flag that there's some shame based there.
Okay.
Because if
I hope that wife is listening tonight.
Is that I don't succeed, then that just reaffirms all the negative things I feel about myself.
Right. Right.
So I'm not going to try because I can't handle the risk of what if it doesn't work out right. And so that's what's under that.
So, I mean, if that's pointed out to a person like that, what do they do with that when it's pointed out to them?
Well, you got to be careful because when we point out, oh, you have shame and they're a shame-based person, they're just going to take that as more shame.
More shame.
And so kind of we self-discover it in a different way, especially in a therapeutic way, so that it's they're finding it and discovering it without it being projected onto them. This is what it is.
Okay.
So once we recognize, once I can see, okay, we're really dealing with shame in here, we're going to use different techniques and therapies to kind of help them see the shame that they're dealing with.
Exactly. So they need therapy.
Absolutely. And, you know, shame is definitely one of those things. It's deep-rooted, and a lot of times professional therapy can really get you going and get you jumpstart to getting through that shame and finding out what it is, the core of the shame. Is that shame, you know, I'm not good enough? Is it, you know?
And let's say that a lot of that was put in by parents that didn't know what they were doing, but they shamed.
Well-meaning people,
well-meaning.
But it still damages that core value of ourself.
Have you found that shame-based individuals are able to even look at what was done to them, or do they cover for the person who caused the shame? For instance, an example with molestation, sexual molestation, a teenage girl that is repeatedly, you know, many times molested, raped by her stepfather, let's say, in the house where her mother is right there sleeping, is it hard, very hard for them to point the finger at the perpetrator?
I think it's an individual thing. Because shame is very subjective and it's based on each individual's interpretation, each person's ability to work through it is just as individual. And
okay,
so we
that
have, you know, there's sometimes we're working through shame-based things in therapy, and maybe it was a parent, and it was a well-meaning parent that just didn't have the skills they needed. And a lot of times they didn't do it on purpose to hurt you. And so for those individuals, a lot of times it's easier for them to work through it for themselves, but also to not see that person who did, you know, let those words come to them be such a negative relationship.
Right.
But, you know, they're still able to have a healthy relationship once they can recognize what had happened. A lot of times when you're talking about deep things like sexual molestation, that can be very complicated because there's so many other components to
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
So
Okay. So what does shame do? What does it do?
Ooh, well, you know, shame can camouflage our true self.
Okay.
Because it can lead us to manufacture false selves. So those masks we wear.
Ah, the masks. Yes.
Is what we use to cover up all those bad things we're really feeling about ourselves.
Okay.
So we're not going to let people see that true self, that I feel like I'm a terrible person and I can't do anything right, or I feel like I'm ugly, or I feel like I'm fat. We don't want people to see that. So we're going to create this fake image of ourselves so we can let people see that.
Like, give us an example.
Oh, well, all kinds of things. So we start putting on those masks of what we think we should be.
Oh, okay.
So we have different parts of ourselves.
Right.
All of us do. There's kind of, we have this ideal self. We have this who we think we should be self.
Oh, okay.
And so that could be one of the masks we wear. There's those personas, what we want to show to others. So I want people to think I'm strong, or I want them to think I'm confident. I might keep achieving.
Right.
So that they will see that. Then we have the inner critic. That's that inner voice going, oh, well, you're really a failure. You really, you know, you're damaged goods.
If they really knew what you're like.
Right. That inner voice, that inner shaming critic that just keeps going and going. And then we start devaluing ourselves. That the results of that inner critic telling, you know, we're telling ourselves that shaming. We start devaluing ourselves. When I hear, I've had so many patients come in and, you know, I feel like I'm just garbage. I'm not worth anything. My life isn't worth anything. This isn't worth anything. That's a long-term shaming and devaluing of self.
And is there much hope for that situation?
There can be great hope for it, and that's the cool thing.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, I've watched, you know, people come in and just felt like a pile of garbage and have used some really heavy shame-inducing things, have been through some really heavy shame-inducing experiences, and have walked through the healing side and have broken the shackles of shame.
Wow. That's encouraging,
because it is
to our audience.
It is very encouraging. It takes work.
Yes. Yes, it does take
and
work.
And a lot, I would say, you know, brave. You have to be brave to do it, because it's scary to look at that shame
stuff. Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
Oh, it is. It's very scary. So, yes. And you have to have, I guess, some drive inside that you can be different, that you can think different, and you can walk out of that whole mindset into a new day.
Absolutely.
You know?
And you can do it.
Our theme song for this show, and I was thinking about it was starting today, and we play it every time along with the baseball intro, but New Lease on Life by the group Mercy Me, you know, and it is, there can be a new day. That's what this show, Go Yard, is all about, is that we can look at some things in our lives, and we can change some things in our lives. They don't have to be ongoing forever and ever.
No, they don't. We can get rid of those shackles that have bound us up,
right,
and cut ourselves loose of them finally, so that we can, you know, be our authentic self, which is what we want to be. We want to be that real self where we don't have to keep picking up those fake masks of accomplishments or happiness or making ourselves look to the nines, so that we always think everyone, you know, we're trying to hide what we really feel on the inside,
right,
and just be who we are,
right? Yeah, because a lot of people, though, doctor, don't people that are dealing with, don't they think that other people devalue them already?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So,
like from the get-go, that they're not going to get the job, they're not going to get the nice-looking husband, they're not going to have cute kids, you know, etc.
True. So what happens when we're highly critical of ourselves all the time, we believe, and it's a false belief, that everyone else is highly critical of us as well.
Right. Right.
So every time that, oh, well, they see I didn't do this right, or they can see I'm not this right, or I'm not good enough for that. And we just feel like the whole world is kind of looking at us in this critical mindset, because we are always
We're always looking at ourselves. Yeah.
You know, and they are, shame-based people are really the ones that you can give them the real mirror and they can find you 500 flaws.
So they don't necessarily want to believe that they are better than all of that junk that's going on and that tape that's playing in their head. They tend to want, it's safe. They've grown up, or they know that language in their head that says, you're not going to make a success at this new job. Why even try? You're going to be a failure.
Absolutely. And so, you know, they kind of set themselves up to make self-fulfilling prophecies.
Exactly.
You know, because we kind of set ourselves up to fail. If we don't think we're going to be able to do it, then we don't put everything in it we need to, and then we might really fail. And then, oh, look, you were right. You know, you suck, or you're not good enough, or
Well, you know, one thing we mentioned last week on our show about enjoying relationships and healthy relationships is to surround yourself with, and we say this a lot on Go Yard, surround yourself with positive people, people that see your value,
yes,
see your worth, people that care about you succeeding. So many people have people in their lives who really want to see them fail because then they feel better about themselves if this guy or this girl flunked a class or, do you know what I'm saying?
There are people like that. Absolutely, there are people like that. And there are many of us, probably almost all of us, have some person in our life that, yeah, they like to see somebody not succeed because I don't want to have to do the work to succeed. So if you don't succeed, then it just makes me look fine too. And so we do need to pump ourselves up and surround ourselves with people who can find our strengths.
Right.
Can see our positive.
Right.
Can be honest with us.
Right. But in codependency, we did that show a few weeks back in our addiction series, two shows on codependency, really good. But we talked about the magnet that it just kind of pulls that person to you. I wonder if that same thing, I'm just asking you professionally, when you have a shame-based person that you're trying to help, are they drawn to people who reinforce their own perception of themselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
That was a good question, wasn't it?
A great question,
by the way. Yeah, because I think it happens. I've seen it, so that's why I wanted to ask
you. Yes, and it does, because I don't feel like I'm worth better. I'm willing to accept less.
And there you go.
And so I'm willing to accept relationships that treat me
bad,
don't respect me, you know, don't see my value, because I feel like that's what I deserve.
Right. And so since I deserve that, I'm going to look for something on my level.
Right.
Not my level or your level. We're talking about the person, whoever that person is, because we don't believe that.
Not at all. Not at all. And so we want to find those relationships that do see our strengths, that do see our gifts.
Right.
Because we all have them. I don't care who you are, that you have a gift.
You do.
You have a strength.
Yes.
You have positive attributes.
Amen. Yes.
And help us highlight those things in our life.
So the person, the audience member out there who goes, wow, this is getting to me because, I do tend to surround myself with people that, and even in my standards, are less than me.
Yes.
Or are not as accomplished or can't work themselves through a problem or are needy people. Seems to me that a lot of shame-based people do surround themselves. That's my point I'm making.
They do.
And
they,
you can tell me if I'm right or wrong.
No, they surround themselves with less than relationships for sure. And usually the relationships that feed that shame.
Right.
Because I feel like I'm not worth it, so I'm not going to, you know, this is what I deserve. I deserve this. And it can get to where it's abusive, and we'll see a lot of shame-based people stuck in domestic violent relationships.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that, too.
True.
So you're answering it before I even have a chance to ask you. Because it makes sense that if you're being abused, you stay or you go, and a lot of people stay, or they go back to it and go back to it and go back to
they
it.
Feel
so why do they do that?
They feel that's what they deserve.
They feel like that's what they deserve.
And they take that shame. So if I'm getting, let's say, beat up or abused, I must have done something wrong to deserve it, and this is my punishment. So there, see that shame? I'm done. I deserve. It's all that shame base that keeps some of that cycle going.
Oh, my gosh, doctor. You know, this is such an important topic, and it is so vital right now to helping other people, I think, in their relationships and their situations.
I totally agree with you. It is such a root issue. I can't stress that enough. And so there's so many levels of shame. I mean, we can have really deep-rooted shame. We can have lower levels, but still it all impacts our self-concept.
Right.
It's the way we see ourselves, the way we see who we are and what we are.
Right. Exactly.
And so it is those glasses that we will view everything in our life.
Oh, wow.
And so it's really a core issue to identify that I'm struggling with this. Yes, I'm self-critical. When somebody pays me a compliment, I come back with something wrong with myself.
Right. Okay, so a person that we're talking about, a shame-based type of individual, they're probably, I want to go back over this point, not going to be attracted to somebody who's pretty successful necessarily, are they?
Not necessarily. But there can be some of that happening because the person who might be real successful might also be a codependent person who needs somebody who is needy.
That makes sense.
There can be kind of a lot of other stuff that goes along with it.
Yeah, going on with it. Okay. All right. So I want you to go back over one more time the different true selves here, the ideal self, the persona, the critic, the devalued self. Can you go back over that real quick?
Absolutely. So we have this ideal self, and that's who we think we believe we should be.
Okay.
We all have this image in our head of what we believe, you know, normal is. I hear that word a lot.
Normal.
I just want to be normal.
I want to be normal.
I want to be normal. And I always like, well, define me normal and find me normal because I've never met normal yet.
Right.
Just saying. So, it's who we believe we should be. So we all have this thought of who we believe we should be.
All right.
And then we have the persona, and that's the mask.
Okay.
That's the mask. That's who we show to others.
That's who we show to others.
So are we this, you know, happy-go-lucky person? Are we this jokester that's going to come up and be like, you know, jokey, you know, witty kind of person? What are we showing others? Because
right.
a lot of times we're hiding all that deep shame
okay.
by coming up with these great masks to hide it. Then we have that critic. That's the self of us that is that internal voice going, oh, well, you're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. Oh, look at your teeth. Look at this. Look at that. That's that internal critic that just keeps feeding our shame.
Okay.
And then we our devalued self. And that's the self that's under all those other selves of the self that's the result of all that internal shaming. And that's where we believe we're worth and who we believe we are.
Devalued. Yes.
The devalued self.
So a lot of those kinds of people, these kinds of people we're talking about, very well could be miserable, is what I hear you saying.
They are miserable, but they can hide it in success.
Okay.
And a lot of times, you know, you don't look at someone who's, you know, the CEO of a corporation and go, oh, well, they could be shame-based, but they could be.
They could be.
Well, you don't know it. They could just have this really great mask and have lots of success to try and hide it, and underneath they're so insecure and they think they're a piece of rubbish.
Right.
And that's the thing with shame. It's hard to identify sometimes.
Okay. So these false selves, the ideal self, who we think we should be, the persona, how we show to others, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What were the other two?
Our critic, that's that internal voice going, you aren't, no, you know, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, and that devalued self, who we really think we are, what we really think we deserve.
Right, absolutely.
And so when we think we're less, we're going to accept less.
We're going to accept less. So I want to go back over the four you know, characteristics and how you can decide if this is something that you're dealing with and you need help. I want to go back over those in a minute because I don't want to just rush through this topic, Doctor, because I think it's extremely important and I want you to kind of reiterate those one more time. But to the person who's listening to the show and goes, bingo, that's either them or their husband, their wife, their, you know, whatever, their boss, whatever, where do they start to correct this? I know we're going to talk more about this next week.
We really are going to get into this next week.
But is there anything right this minute you would like to tell them?
Well, you know what? If you say, oh my gosh, Dr. Angel, you are totally describing me. You know, I'll give you a homework assignment. Go find your strengths. Find what you do
good. Oh, I like that. Give them a homework assignment.
Yes.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
Make a list.
Here's your homework, people.
Of your strengths. Make a list of your gifts. Make a list of all the your contribution and your worth.
Okay.
Because that's how we overcome.
Yes.
Our shame is by replacing those negative tapes with the truth.
I love that. People,
and we're going to really get into that next week. But if you want to say, you know what, you hit the nail on the head, I'm going to challenge you, find two, find three, find four. But look at your gifts, your strengths, your worth, your, you know, look at your contributions.
Right.
Let's
wow.
start pulling
I love
those
that.
Out.
Oh, we are running out of time. So some of you had questions and you didn't get a hold of us, and that's okay. So you can email us at goyard2014@gmail.com. That's where a lot of our questions come from, audience members that don't text in, don't call in, but they have questions. And so you can email us in detail, and perhaps your question will be on one of our shows soon. So that's goyard2014@gmail.com. So what are the four characteristics that make you know kind of like, oops?
The flags. So some of the flags.
Flags.
It doesn't
there you
mean
go.
That
flags.
You necessarily have shame, but they definitely can be indicators
flags.
That
there
you may.
Go.
So are you highly self-critical?
Okay.
You're always looking at yourself and, oh, this isn't right and this isn't right. Are you self-critical? Do you beat yourself up over your failures? Do you think about them constantly? Do you think about what you should have done? Do you think about what you could have done? Does it make you feel like you know, negative feelings about yourself?
Okay, number two.
Are you working too much and pushing too hard without giving yourself time to breathe? We need rest. We need recovery time.
Absolutely, we do. So that's a red flag in that really a person is trying to escape from dealing with things by just working and being a success.
True, because whenever everything gets silent, what happens? All those negative tapes get pretty loud.
Mm-hmm. They sure do.
And they try to hush them out by outperforming. Do you feel that need to compete? Do you feel that need to outperform others and move ahead of the pack all the time? Can you play a board game, and is it okay if you lose?
Right.
Because if that happens to you, if you're one of those people, that's a flag you can definitely have some shame under there.
Oh, that's a huge one right there.
And then do you just have that sense of you're not good enough?
Right. Whoa, good show.
Awesome.
I mean, honestly, Doctor, I'm going to thank you for our audience members. And because you put a lot of time into your career and to really helping people, and the therapists under you value your wisdom, and the shows that we do here on Go Yard are done because we want to help people. It's no other reason. We're not getting paid for this. We're paying to do this. So if you want to advertise on our show, that would be great. And all you have to do is email me at goyard2014@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to contribute to the radio work here that we're doing, that's fine too. Whichever. We don't ask for money, but you can contribute. So just send an email to goyard2014@gmail.com. Final thought, Dr. Angel.
Well, do your homework this week. If you said, this is me, Dr. Angel, what can we do? Get started this week and start finding your strengths and start looking for gifts. And if you can't see them, ask some people around you that you trust.
That's a great idea. Just say, hey, I listened to the show. It helped me.
What do you see as my strengths?
What do you see as my strengths? That's a great homework assignment.
That's a great homework assignment.
Wow. You know who this has been tonight? This has been a wonderful counseling session, life coaching show with Dr. Angel. That's you, right?
That's me.
And me, Mama Mac. And you've been listening to Go Yard. See you next week. Same time, same station. Check it out this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, right at noon Eastern on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. See you next week.
Good night.
Come and take me to the river. Said my life take two. Oh Lord have mercy on this way.